Hi, welcome
Well,
to Courtney's podcast.
exactly. Lucas, you're already doing all the intros for me and everything. That's so great.
This has
All right.
been a Courtney podcast sponsored by Courtney.
Thanks, Lucas. Yeah, I just sponsor myself. That's all I do.
Let's talk about films and shit.
Hey guys, this is Ghost Facing It, the podcast where I talk favorite films with some of my favorite people, and I have my very good friend Ashley Urbanski on today. Ashley, how are you?
Hello, I'm good.
Thank you
Excited
for coming
to talk
on
dinosaurs.
My podcast. Yes.
Of course.
I know. I feel like, as much as I love movies, I feel like you may love this movie just a scotch more than me, and I love this movie a lot.
I love this movie. Very, very much. And the book.
Yeah.
Both are great. I love them both.
I was about to say, I it's been a while since I read the book, so I did a quick like Wikipedia of the summary of of the Jurassic Park book just to be like, oh, so I could see what some of the differences were. And to anybody
yeah.
listening, please read the book. Don't do what I
yes.
did.
Don't follow Courtney. Please immerse yourself in the great novel from Michael Crichton.
Yes, I did the same thing. I did an episode with my cousin Katie on Matilda, and I hadn't read the book, so I read the Wikipedia summary, and I was like, don't do what I did. Please go read the book. Read books. Books are good for you.
Yes, books are great. Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power, not Wikipedia pages. Although Wikipedia is great. But don't read the Wikipedia summary.
We love Wikipedia, but yeah.
You do, yeah. Please go read the book. So Ashley, before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself, how we know each other, what you do.
Well, a little about me. I live in New Orleans currently. I met Courtney in Magic Kingdom, where we worked together in Fantasylands. We had the pleasure of working together at good old Winnie the Pooh and Mad Tea Party.
Yes.
Lots of fun times to be had for sure.
Always a party at the tea party.
Yes, of course. And anytime rides were down at Winnie the Pooh, which was always.
Yes. Good old honey spills.
Yes. Oh, that ride. But yeah, so Courtney's put up with me for a while now.
I think it's more you put up with me than I put up with you.
Well, we both hung out even after we worked together, and I mean that was, you know, we went to Disney, we even spent a lot of time in Universal a lot. You
yes.
know, since we love Jurassic Park, we spent a lot of time over there. Oh, and you let me get you to take a picture with that raptor, you remember?
I was just about to say, very appropriately, we did the raptor encounter at Universal, which was like, not. I actually think I saw the picture, because like, you're like having the time of your life, and I'm just like, my shoulders are up, and I'm like, this is, because it
oh,
scared
yeah, that's,
me.
That's totally your contact picture on my phone.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Please change it. Please, for the love
nope,
of God. I don't even know, like, my shoulders are, like, up by my ears. Just like,
you
oh, no.
You look so uncomfortable standing next to it. I'm going to keep that forever. It's just going to stay on my phone as your contact photo.
That's appropriate. I'll take it.
Yeah. But long story longer. Yeah, so when we were both living in Orlando, we hung out. And then I decided to be crazy and move to New Orleans and... I don't know, what was it, 2018, I think I moved, and then
I think
you
so.
Left Orlando not shortly after that, went up to
That's true.
Chicago, yeah.
we both abandoned Orlando, we were like, sayonara.
Yeah, see you later, theme park land. Yeah, but it was, it was great, I still love it, sometimes I miss it, because we were pretty spoiled where we got to go to the parks anytime we wanted, and, you know,
yeah.
could just... hang out there all day or on weekends or whatever, and now I can't
yeah.
do that, and it's kind of a bummer, but
I was literally just thinking about that the other day, and I think it was the day that you texted me, like, or that you tagged me in the Facebook thing, like, oh, remember when we used to go to the parks all the time? And I was like, yeah, I was reminiscing about that. I was like, that was so nice, like, just to get to go
yeah.
into Disney and just like kind of walk around, and
yeah.
I do miss it,
see all of our buddies and stuff. But yeah,
exactly,
it was, you know, a lot of fun. I still like going back and visit. And your dad still lives there too, so that's pretty cool.
He does.
Right?
I go. I'll get to. Yeah, he does. He just
okay.
he just moved it. He did move, but he moved like a couple miles from where we used to live, but my grandparents just moved into a house right across from his house.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so it's like in the middle of that, like, orange grove out there.
No, so it's like
driving you out there. That was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Smelled like citrus. No.
It smells nice. It's not in a great part of Florida, but it smells nice.
Ah, whatever. It's cool. But,
it is.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, New Orleans is super cool. It's a little crazy here, but it's great as long as you're not ever in a hurry to get anything done and you are polite and well-mannered to everybody.
As you should be just in general.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. That's what I love it about here. One of the many things, because not very many people are as nice as everybody here, which is a really nice thing. It's cool.
Right. Gotta love people.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's pretty much me. Did I do okay with the introduction?
You did. I always feel awkward asking people about that because it's like, because then I'm just like, okay, and go.
Yeah.
Like I almost made you do with the 30-second summary. Just go.
Yeah. Like, what do I say?
So before we get into our convo about Jurassic Park, I am going to have you do the 30-second summary. And okay. Like you kind of like you said, you're going into this kind of blind. Do you think you're ready to do this?
Heck yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So do you want me to count you down or do you just want to go?
No, count me down. Let me know.
All right. In 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. So Jurassic Park, it is started because Hammond wants to make pretty much a theme park of dinosaurs instead of rides. So he goes and gets DNA, dino DNA, from some amber that was stuck in a rock. So, from a mosquito. So they grab that, makes dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are not controllable things. So, dinosaurs get out of hand.
That's 30 seconds.
Goes terrible. Done.
I think you summed it up pretty well.
Did I? I don't know about that.
People die.
Yes. And all kinds of things go awry.
Yes. I've noticed in the 30-second summary, I feel like you kind of fell into the, like, I'm going to go into, like, a little bit, of, like, more detail than I need to, which has happened a couple times. And then someone the other day, I can't remember which episode it was, they did in I think it was my friend Wade. Did Finding Nemo and he did it in like 15 seconds. I was like, holy shit.
What?
How did you do it quickly? Yeah,
I talk too much for that. I mean, I'm lucky I made it to the end when you said 30 seconds.
I was about to say, I still think you summed it up pretty well.
Great.
Also, that 30 second summary is nerve wracking. I'm just going to say.
It is. Because I didn't practice it. Just kind of went in, improvising it.
I probably should have warned you. I probably should have checked and been like, you know about the 30-second summary. Although this is kind of more fun just to be like, surprise, you get to do some work when you come on here.
Exactly. I like it. Very cool.
Yep. I think you did a good job. And I think you did sum it up very, thanks. Very well.
Thank you.
I'm here to give props. Props are deserved.
This podcast is just Courtney thanking me the whole time. You're welcome.
It really is. Well, since you haven't listened to any episode, this podcast is mostly me going off on random tangents. It's going to happen. Just FYI. And I will drop the same celebrity name, which I'm not dropping yet because I've done it every episode. I'm going to try not to mention the celebrity in this episode. We're going to see if I can make it.
All right. I believe in
but
you.
But you... All right, thank you. I'm going to try and hold myself back. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, Jurassic Park. Ah, man, I rewatched it last night. This movie is amazing. I mean, I'm not telling you the news, but holy shit, I love this movie.
I totally agree.
So what about Jurassic Park makes it your favorite? Like, something that you go back to time and time again?
I don't know, the first time I ever watched Jurassic Park, I was like 5 or 6 years old or something, and for some reason I thought it was a bright idea at that age to get this from Blockbuster, where, you know, we got movies. And I remember my parents warning me, they're like, it's gonna be scary. And I just ignored that. So I ended up renting it and watching it, you know, being terrified. But
yes, but like a fun terrified.
Yes, exactly. Like it was so exciting and different. And just, you know, growing up and watching it over and over, there's not really too many movies like it. And just, you know, the cast they had as well was great. And then, you know, when I read the book, I just loved it even more because there's a lot of differences in between the movie and the book. I mean, I love the movie. I think this is one of the few, like, movies I still love even after reading the book.
Yeah.
I do enjoy, like, the changes they made and stuff like that. But I do really still love the book, too. But I don't know. I mean, I just don't think it can get any better than bringing back dinosaurs that probably shouldn't have been brought back. But
yeah, probably. I mean, and the movie does raise that question. Yeah, you could do this, but should you have done this? Yeah. And it's just like,
should you have brought back dinosaurs and played God a little bit? You know, who's to say?
And Hammond was just like, yes, yes, I should. I'm going to have a whole theme park around it. It's going to be exactly. Fantastic.
Yep. I feel it. Like
if Jurassic Park was real, would you go? I already know the
oh,
answer.
Oh, hell yeah. But. Yeah, it would. I mean, I don't even know how much it would cost, but I would totally go at some point. I don't know what kind of price Hammond would have asked for people to visit that park, but whatever it is, I totally would have paid it.
Well, and I only know this because I rewatched it last night. He is like, because the lawyer at one point's like, we could charge like $5,000, $10,000 and people will pay it. And Hammond's like, no, I want everybody to come. And I was like, that sounds nice. Disney used to say that. And now look at Disney prices.
Look at where that got them. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I don't know. Maybe if Hammond were, you know, alive to kind of open it and see it through, you know, it'd start being like that affordable price. But then when he passed away and like, people would, you know, grow and it would be later in time, it'd probably be extremely high.
Yes.
Just like Disney is today, yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry, sure. Disney, we're coming for your heart in this episode.
I know. We love you, but you're just
we do.
Real expensive.
You, that's so expensive. It's not even funny.
So expensive.
Oh, yeah. I do wish Jurassic Park was real. I'm with you. I would totally, like, 100% go. Like,
heck yeah.
I feel like that'd just be so cool.
I know. I guess it'd be kind of neat to go too, because there's still like that possibility of, oh no, like there could be a raptor that gets out and eats someone, or, you know, I don't know. I feel like how would it, I guess maybe they'd be able to control the animals better, but I honestly don't think they would just because of people, you know, we weren't around at this time to really know,
right.
You know, how they are, like, every little thing. I mean, even though in Jurassic Park, you know, from all these different scientists and stuff that come in and try and sit here and be dinosaur experts, I mean, how can you really be an expert if you weren't around the actual living animal for, you know, years and years and years? But I don't know.
Exactly. I mean, that's a very valid point. It's just like, we don't know how they're going to react to us. Like, there's just no way. But yeah. I guess... Yeah, which they kind of explore a little bit in Jurassic World, which I really loved that. Like, we got to see, like, the full functioning park that was there.
Yeah.
Which was cool to see.
I did enjoy that, too. It was pretty neat.
Especially, I think that came out when we were still cast members, right? Did I see that movie
too? Yeah, I think we did. I think we saw it together. I remember that. As I know we saw it at Disney Springs or Downtown Disney, whatever it was at the time.
But yeah, whatever, it's changed ever since then. Was that the movie you almost, was it you that almost passed out at the movie theater that I went to the
movies
with?
Yeah, that was the wrong movie. That was a shark movie. It wasn't Jurassic World.
I was thinking about that earlier. So, I was like, I think Ashley's the one that almost passed out when we went to the movies. Yep. And then she was gone for like 30 minutes. And I was like, where did Ashley go?
And I left my phone next to you. So I couldn't even text you and be like, hey, I feel like shit and I probably need some help. I left my phone and all I did was I brought my like, cause I was going to go get water. It's the whole reason I got up. And then, I was going to go to the front, but once I started getting up and walking, I was like, oh shit, I'm dehydrated. I'm seeing spots. I'm feeling really lightheaded. Like pretty sure I'm going to pass out. So, since I couldn't make it to the front, I wasn't going to pass out in front of a bunch of people, like a tourist that's never been to Florida before. decided to go through the bathroom and fill up my water bottle with hot sink water. And that was how I made it through to get back to you.
I was gonna say, I feel like you were gone for a while too. And meanwhile, I'm just sitting in the theater going, man, where did she go? Like the whole time I was like, I don't know where she went, but she's not here.
Yeah, well, I was an idiot and I didn't take my phone with me. So I like was like, oh my God, Courtney's probably like wondering where the hell I am right now.
To be honest, yeah, I probably thought you went to go get like concessions and those lines are so long. I was probably like, oh, she's getting popcorn.
This is normal. Right?
This is normal. This is totally a normal thing.
Acceptable amount of time.
Exactly. I see I've already got us off on one of these tangents, Ashley. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So stay hydrated, everyone. That's the tangent.
That's the lesson from this. Whether you're at Disney Springs or at Jurassic Park, please stay hydrated.
Yes. Drink water all the time, always.
Yeah, you should. Don't drink the sparkling water, which is what I do. Drink actual water. That's what's good for you.
Yes. Exactly.
Although sparkling water tastes a little bit better, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Exactly.
Obviously there's been a bunch of Jurassic Park movies. Where do you rank I'm assuming this one is obviously your favorite, but like how do you rank the Jurassic Park movies? Like if you had to put them in order.
Okay. Well, of course I love this one the most. I don't think anything's ever gonna beat the original.
No, this movie's almost perfect, honestly. I was watching it last night, I was like, holy shit, this movie's so good.
I know. And Jurassic World, or The Lost World, rather, that was just kind of a weird movie. I need to read the book, because I want to see what that is like compared to the movie. Because that movie was just a little weird.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, Jurassic Park 3, I really enjoyed that one a lot. Maybe that would be my number two, and then my number three would be Jurassic, or the Lost, yeah, right, Jurassic World, there we go. Too many worlds in here. Lost Worlds, Jurassic Worlds. So, Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park 3, Jurassic World, and then probably the Lost World is where I'd put my, ranking.
Put your ranking. You're not even, Fallen Kingdom, you're like, no, I'm not even gonna count that one. I don't blame you.
Yeah, I don't. When did that even come out, The Fallen Kingdom?
I think 2018. I'm pretty sure 2018. That movie, really? That movie's ending kind of pissed me off, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I probably should watch it just to see, but I love the original so much. Like, Jurassic World was cool, and I enjoyed it. It just was very different compared to the original movie. Also, too, you know, I love the original cast. It's hard to
beat it.
As much as I love Chris Pratt and Dallas, who is it? What is her name?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
There we go, Bryce Dallas Howard. They're both wonderful. I don't know. I really, really love the original cast. They're really awesome.
I will say they're doing a third Jurassic World, and they are bringing back.
I read that.
Laura Dern and Jeff Goldblum all are coming back. Yes,
I saw that they're going to bring them back. So I'm hoping that goes well. I'm really interested to see how it goes.
Yes. Well, so you didn't see, did you see, so you didn't see Fallen Kingdom?
I did not see Fallen Kingdom.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for you, but a bunch of dinosaurs get loose at the end and it's not good for us.
Wow. That is a shock.
It's always shocking, isn't it? How did these dinosaurs get loose?
Expect dinosaurs to get loose
in the fifth movie. People are still like, "What? What? Like, how did the dinosaurs get loose?"
Oh, this has never happened before.
Yeah, you think we would have learned from our mistakes? No, they did not. Yeah. Did not learn from their mistakes.
We always get loose dinosaurs. I mean, you know, people with some loose dinos. I just wouldn't want to be anywhere around them.
You're like, I'm good. If they stay far away from me and I can just see them from a distance, I'm fine.
Yes. Kind of like a bear. When you're in the woods, do you really want to be close to a bear? No. Do you want to see a bear? You want to see a bear. Not like a dinosaur.
But like from far away.
Yes. Far, 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 far away. Like where they're like tiny and fuzzy and adorable. Not close up where they're hungry and probably have babies and lots of teeth.
Yes. Well, again, I feel like I'm saving you from watching Fallen Kingdom, which I wasn't a huge fan of, but I don't want to say that it ends with a rafter in a cul-de-sac, but that's how the movie ends. Oh my God. And my mom was like, oh, that whole neighborhood is dead now. And I'm like, you're not wrong.
Yeah, no, you're not. And raptors are like the creepiest / most awesome part of Jurassic Park, because in the book especially, I mean, in the movie, they're freaking awesome. I mean, one, they can open doors. That's pretty cool. Two, they're like super fast. Yes.
Yeah. Oh man, that scene always freaks me out. The raptors in the kitchen that's my favorite scene of this movie. But holy shit, that's so scary because they like cut back to the adults in the control room. And they're like, oh, well, can they get in? And then Laura Dern's like, no, not unless they learn to open doors. Cut to them like turning the doorknob and opening the door, and you're just like, fuck you, movie. What the hell are you doing?
Just watch them open some doors real quick. Yeah, can they?
Yeah. They can. Oh no, I agree with you. The raptors are part of the best part of like the whole Jurassic Park world, because you get to see them, and I do like what this movie does is Steven Spielberg really does what he did with Jaws, where it's a lot of kind of it's there but you don't really see it, which he does with the raptors in this, which I think is a good approach.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, like, it's not as much as Jaws, obviously, for Jaws, like, that's much more in effect, but you really don't see the raptors until the end. They have, like, the little cold open with the raptor where the worker gets tugged into the paddock.
Yes. Yeah.
But speaking of the raptors in the kitchen, so this movie has a lot of iconic scenes and lines. What do you think your favorite scene or line is from this movie? And then which do you think is just the most iconic in general?
Oh my gosh, I have to choose one. Oh no.
There's a lot in this movie too.
Yeah, there's so many. Oh my God. I mean, I don't know. I love any of the scenes where like, where Dr. Grant, Dr. Sadler are just like super blown away by all of these dinosaurs they're seeing living and breathing. It's always fun to see how freaked out they are. Like that one scene where, you know, there's been a jeep and they're in the field, and I think they see some brachiosaurus or something off in the distance.
For the first time.
Yes, exactly. For the first time ever. And, you know, they're just like, oh my God. And then, you know, in the 90s, like this is like top-notch technology happening, which is great, but you know, you watch it today and it's like, oh, okay, all right, those are some dinosaurs. I still think that it is wonderful though, still to this day. It really hasn't dated that, you know, like I feel like it's still very, very relevant.
No, these effects, I was talking to my mom a little bit this morning. I was like, these effects still hold up better than a lot of movies' effects have held up like in the past 30 years. Because this movie is almost 30 years old. Like, it's...
Oh, my God, no.
It's insane.
We're almost 30 in case you want to feel...
Yeah. We didn't need to say that, Ashley. I just said this movie was almost 30. We didn't need to bring up our ages with it.
too late.
Yeah. Good job. But, yeah, no, that scene is really great, especially with the score. Obviously, John Williams has a great score with this film. But, like, it was literally that scene always gives me, like, goosebumps. And it gave me goosebumps last night. Like, just them seeing the dinosaurs for the first time. Yes. And then, like, that scene ends with Hammond going, welcome to Jurassic Park, which Richard Attenborough says it way better than I could ever say it, obviously.
Right. I love it, though. And I love that's such a good... the other scene, too, like, towards the end where the T-Rex is in the Discovery Center and he, you know, he like takes down that, what was it? Wasn't it a raptor or something in there that he takes down, and then he roars and the banner falls and it says, dinosaurs ruled the earth.
I was about to say, so that is my favorite, I think that's my favorite shot in the whole movie, when that banner's falling down and the T-Rex is just like roaring after he's like defeated these two raptors. And it does, yeah, it does. It says when dinosaurs ruled the earth.
Yeah,
it's such a good like just shot. Oh.
Yes, there's a lot of really great scenes in this movie, but I don't know. I really enjoy with the, I don't know, you know, even in Jurassic World when they ended it with the T-Rex, you know, roaring like super loud at the end. It's like, yeah, all right, that's a good ending, because there's a huge T-Rex and it's just like the first one. I don't know. I guess my brain really likes T-Rexes ending with the large roar.
You would have hated the Fallen Kingdom one. That one ends with the raptor. You would have been like, well, this doesn't count. This isn't a tier. Right? What do you do in a movie?
This is a setup. This is to set me up for another movie.
Nice try. Yeah, that whole neighborhood's really still dead.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. The T-Rex's ending the movies are just so great. I guess it's just because the original one does it. So I'm like, yeah, that's how a dinosaur movie should end. I guess I just have it in my mind.
Right. And when it doesn't, you're just like, well, this isn't how this dinosaur movie's supposed to end. What are you doing, movie?
What is this? Oh,
exactly.
But yeah, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No. You go ahead.
I think even the third movie, that one ended with them in the helicopter with the pterodactyls flying next to them, right? Isn't that how that one ended?
Yeah, I think so. It's been a while since I've seen that one, but I think so. Yeah, I can't remember I can't remember how the Lost World ends. I know that the T-Rex gets brought to San Diego at some point and then gets loose in San Diego. Yeah. Bring dinosaurs here? Yeah. That whole movie, Ian Malcolm's like, do not do this. And they're like, we're totally going to do it. And then they do it and it gets loose. And they're like, well, who thought this would happen? And Ian Malcolm's like, me, I told you.
We're going to do it.
Yeah. And you're just like, why?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how they all. I think the third one does end it with the pterodactyls flying next to them in the helicopter.
Yeah, because that was they just made it out of the crazy cage of the pterodactyls, and they are getting all swooped at and stuff. And I think they make it out to the beach and they get picked up by a helicopter, and then they're like, "Oh, look in the distance, there's pterodactyls out there."
That is the third one is the one that is, if I remember correctly, Alan, because Sam Neill comes back, so Alan Grant's back in the third one, and he earlier in the film they constructed a raptor voice box that makes the raptor call, and they get away from the raptors by using. I remember that's always fairly ridiculous because you're watching it and they're just using this little. It is pretty good, but you're just watching it and you're like, man, those raptors, there's no way they're falling for that, right? And they do. They do fall for it.
I know. Him and his man-made raptor whistle.
I know. Just and you're just like,
take my raptor whistle here. And, it worked. Oh, look at that.
and then he's like, this time for real, I'm never coming back to this island.
Yeah.
This is never happening again. Although I think Jurassic Park 3 takes place on the other island, right? Because this one's Isla Nublar.
Yeah, and then there's
Isla Sorna.
Yes, there we go. That was the other one. Yeah, and actually, in the book, it's Costa Rica. So I don't know what they're trying to do here.
I think the islands are still supposed to be in Costa Rica, but they were just the people will think this is real.
Yeah, so let's just dial this down.
Yeah, just a tiny bit.
Dinosaurs over in Costa Rica, you never know.
Exactly. I will say with Jurassic Park 3, I guess it's not a lot of people enjoy that movie, but I'm kind of like you. I really enjoy Jurassic Park 3, especially with the pterodactyls, and they're trapped in the bird cage with them, which is a lot of fun because it confines the action, which is always something I really love. There's no pterodactyls in this first one.
Yeah, no, not. I don't believe there are. I don't remember any. They're kind of creepy in the third one, which was cool. And that guy, that Billy guy, he cracks me up because I love that scene where they're around all the raptor nests and they're like, eggs. And then they all go.
Yeah, and he just steals an egg, eggs. And you're just like, what are you doing?
It's all right, we clearly know Billy wants some damn eggs. All right, go ahead, steal the freaking dinosaur eggs. Apparently, in every movie, we need to either steal dino DNA or eggs or whatever. Maybe a dinosaur. Who knows? But I love when they look around, the camera pans to each nest. It's eggs.
Yes, just eggs everywhere.
Thanks. Yes, I needed three shots of the nest to get or egg.
Were there eggs in the shot? I hadn't seen enough of them. I don't know
what
for sure.
Was it? I don't think I understand what we're looking at. Can I get it for a third time, please?
Yes. I don't think it's been on screen long enough. Are there eggs in the shot? That's weird. And then later he's like, "Yeah, I stole the egg." And Alan's like, "Hey, dipshit. I don't know why you did that, because good job. Now we have raptors chasing after us.
All these dinosaurs fucking know you took the eggs because they've been chasing us for the last, oh, I don't know, hour and a half of this movie.
Yeah. Oh, Billy. So his name is Billy, too. That just sounds like a, like, it's just like, that's Billy. Right.
Exactly. Well, this is not Biff, I mean.
yeah, right? That'd have been for everybody. Like, all the kind of dumb. Not, because he's not, Billy's not really an antagonist. But yeah, like that, everybody's true, like it's all Biff.
Yeah,
he is, but he isn't. I guess that. But truly, the true villains of the Jurassic Park movies are the humans that mess with everything.
Exactly, all the great ones that either want to take, you know, DNA or eggs or whatever because they want to go sell them for money somewhere.
Exactly, it's so funny that you said that because I was talking to my mom this morning and we were saying like it's Jurassic. The Jurassic Park series kind of doesn't know what to do if, like, they can't, like, them just having dinosaurs as not an enemy, but as, like, some sort of object in the human's way, like, is it enough? Like, they always need someone, like, stealing DNA or doing something else. Like, there's nothing, they almost can't, no one can really get beyond that. And you're just like, no, there's probably other things to explore here.
Yeah, right? There's probably some other things we could do, but I think we're going to focus on stealing some DNA or, you know, creating DNA that we shouldn't create and
right
of, you know, putting dinosaurs in pretty much to our society where they shouldn't be, but, you know, we're gonna do it.
Exactly. Well, because it's like, it is funny that like Jurassic World is just like, so we totally added all the amphibian DNA and the bird DNA, but we also added all this dino DNA and just mixed it all together. And everybody was like, cool, this is going to be great. And everybody else is like, no, that's not. Did you consult anybody with this? Like,
they consulted the DNA guy. Mr. DNA. Dino Mr. DNA. DNA. Yeah.
Oh, my God. The way Mr. DNA says dinosaur, because he goes it like dinosaur. Like, he says it like 15 times, too. The way he says that in this movie. That's fantastic. It's
the best. I think that's another favorite part of Jurassic Park for me is Mr. DNA. The way he just is kind of super cute and animated, very, like, you know, easily just kind of pops up with his funny little voice. Well dinosaurs.
dinosaur. Like, he literally, like, I was like, oh, he's just going to say it like that once and then we'll move on. No, he says it like that, like, five times. Yeah. Like, when they're on, like, the little carousel progress, like, ride. Yes, and then exactly. I was thinking about this last night because, you know, they lift up the seats to, like, get out. And I was like, as a former cast member, you are horrible, horrible guests here. Exactly. Sit down. Just ride the ride.
Wait until it's done. You probably have, like, 2 minutes left.
Put your lap bar down. I just had, like, flashbacks of being at Winnie the Pooh. Like, please pull your lap bar down. Just sit. Just do please.
It. Just do it. It's, you know,
don't make me stop this attraction. Yes.
Or it will stop itself, I mean.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, fun fact for anybody who doesn't know, if you go on Winnie the Pooh and do not pull down your lap bar, this ride will stop itself. Don't just pull down your damn lap bar, please.
Yeah, just do it. It's not hard. It takes about 2 seconds.
It's not. Oh, but yes. God.
I love the whole DNA guy. He cracks me up.
He does. Yeah, Mr. DNA is a lot of fun. Honestly, if I was ever going to get a Jurassic Park tattoo, it would totally be Mr. DNA.
Oh my God, yes, that would be the best. I honestly, every time I hear his accent, I'm like, where is he supposed to be from? Any ideas on that?
Somewhere in the South. Like, I think he's kind of trying to do a Southern accent, but I can't quite place it. Honestly, really, it kind of, yeah.
I don't know. You're right. Like, it does sound Southern, but, like, I don't know what part, like, of the South. I kind of want to go around everyone here that's from Louisiana and be like, say dinosaur. Can you just say dinosaur for me? Like,
well, because he's like, because, like,
South are they saying dinosaur like that?
I was gonna say, I don't think it's like New Orleans or Louisiana because that's like a thick, like, Cajun accent.
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting. I don't know. I come across people that they, you know, they kind of have a little bit of a Southern accent, but you're right. It's very, you know,
That's what I've always assumed. It's kind of like Southern, but I don't think, but like I, like you said, like I don't know where it's supposed to be from in the South, because yeah, it doesn't like, sound like, I don't know.
Yeah, I gotta listen to his. That's gonna be my mission now. I have to figure out
Dino DNA.
Whoever voiced him, where are they from?
I could probably, while we're chatting, I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna see if I can track this down. I'm gonna do it. But yes, like his accent is just so like, it's almost a little over the top. Like it's like an over the top.
Yeah, like I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll just ask everyone in the South how to say dinosaur, and until I find it, I'll let you know.
That would just be really funny if like everybody that like don't go with Tashley. She's gonna ask you to say dinosaur, and then she's gonna ask you where you're from if you say it a certain way. Just don't do it.
Just don't, please. Yeah. Maybe don't even approach her.
Oh, all right, goodness. Hold on. So this was Greg Burson, and he was from Los Angeles, who voiced Mr. DNA. But it sounds like he's putting on
That's not Southern. Yeah, he's trying to be Southern. Maybe that's his take on being Southern. I don't know.
Hilarious. You know what? I'm gonna answer this question first right now, Ashley. Steven Spielberg, I know you're listening. Can you please answer this question for us? Where's Mr. DNA's accent from?
Yeah, just we would let us know. You know, we're kind please. Of curious. Why was
otherwise?
We love him. We just want to know his story.
Exactly. Otherwise, Ashley's gonna have to bombard everybody she meets with, "Hi, my name is Ashley. Please say dinosaur."
I will travel to every state south of the Mason-Dixon line to find the true Mr. DNA.
Exactly. Like, I think that should be your like podcast or documentary series, tracking Mr. DNA or something like that.
I don't know.
Well, of course, you'd listen to it. You'd be doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd be a listener.
I would listen to it. Come on, Ashley. Okay, so you know me. I would do it. Boom.
Oh goodness.
I'll get my three listeners, my three consistent listeners. I'll get them to listen. So that's. Me, you, that's five. Boom.
Yeah, done. True. All right. Well, I guess that's enough, right?
You're welcome. I'm getting all these listeners for you.
Yeah.
So I know it was hard to choose. Oh, you're welcome. That's what friends do. Come on. So I know it was hard to choose your favorite scene of the movie, but do you think there's the most iconic scene? What do you think the most iconic scene of the movie is? Because I always think of the glass of water that's on the dashboard that starts vibrating when the T-Rex is coming closer.
Yeah. That's such a good
this movie's literally like chock full of just like great moments and iconic moments.
Yeah, no, agreed. I mean, there's not too many movies that have as many as this one does, which is pretty cool. I love the glass of water every time because, like, I've seen posters and stuff with that too. And I'm like, oh, that's such a great thing to focus on. Like, sitting there trying to drink your water, and then a T-Rex, you know, you just happen to know he's nearby because he's so huge and nearing your car.
Exactly.
Either that or, like, even the scene with the Jeep I was talking about earlier. That's a good one too. I mean, but the water for sure. It's probably a toss up between those two for me.
I will say also, literally when I saw the Jeeps, like every time I saw the Jeeps, and in my notes I just wrote the Jeeps, the other Jeeps. Like I was so excited to see them. I was like, oh, this is so exciting. It's the Jeeps.
Right? Yeah, it's so funny. And anytime I see, because what kind of car? Is that actually, isn't it a Ford Explorer? The kind of, because every time I see that car, I'm like, oh, that's like the car from Jurassic Park. But I mean, that was like pretty popular, I think, more back in the 90s versus now. That style anyway. I doubt they make them looking like that anymore, but it just cracks me up.
I think the cast member's still there. There was a cast member at Magic Kingdom that had the Jurassic Park, like his Jeep decked out like the Jurassic Park one. Did you ever see it?
Yes, I totally did. I was super excited about it too. Every time I saw it, I like would try and park near it, but I'd at the very least just stare at it for a minute.
If I could, I would park right next to it. And I have, like, I think, like, 5 or 6 pictures in my car from our time at Magic Kingdom of just, like, that Jeep. Like, I still have the pictures of it. I would always be excited. Yes. I'd be like, oh, it's the Jurassic Park Jeep. It's so great. Right?
I know. I love it so much. It's so great. I love it. Yeah, that's right. Because they do have Jeeps. And then they have, like, the, I guess the Ford Explorer car I'm thinking of is, like, when they're in, like, at the park, and that's the one with, like, the green and, like, yellowish, right, reddish kind of. Okay, got it. Sorry.
That's, yeah, that's the one. No, that, no, you're good. No, the one that's, like, on the ride track.
Is, yeah.
Like
yeah,
you
yeah.
said, like, the Ford Explorer, which that one's really yeah. cool, too. I know, all the cars in this are exciting.
Yeah, and also, I mean, every time I do see a red Jeep there, too, I'm like, oh my god, yeah, there just needs to be a dinosaur on the back of that, and then we're good. Like,
yeah, we're ready to roll.
Yeah, that's the only way you should have a red Jeep. No other way.
Exactly, it's with the Jurassic Park logo.
Exactly.
So I don't want to make you choose favorites again, but I'm going to. What do you think your favorite dinosaur is? We're going to break down dinosaurs now.
Oh, it's okay. Raptor, hands down. That's my favorite. And all the movies.
You didn't even hesitate.
Yeah, no, it's a raptor. Like, in the book, like, oh my god, I love the raptors in the book. Like, they are even creepier in the book than they are in the movie. Because they're just doing a lot of stuff. I mean, there's, like, things where they watch them, you know, on cameras and stuff, lurking around in the dark, opening up things that, you know, they shouldn't be able to get into, but they can.
Right. Which the movie, I get, like, because, like we were saying, like, the obviously there's the raptor in the kitchen scene, but we really, the raptors really don't play a huge part until the end, like, towards yeah. the, I would say, like, the last act, because they don't get out of their paddock until the whole park shuts down, when they do the shutdown yes. to turn everything back up, which also, I do want to shout out Samuel L. Jackson, who has my favorite line of the movie, which is, hold on to your butts. And he just yes. says it like Samuel L. Jackson, so it's amazing. Yeah. And then Samuel L. Jackson dies. Sorry, Sam Jackson. You do die in it, so.
That's very true. But oh my gosh, no, that's such a good line. I think that's probably the most quoted one I've ever said. I mean, and if someone doesn't know yeah. where it is, well, then joke's on them. But
I think that is go watch really Jurassic like, Park.
Yeah, aside from, you know, dino DNA, like, I think I've said that one more. But, yeah, definitely. That's the best. I love it.
Well, that one, and then my other favorite one is when Jeff Goldblum's like, what is it? God creates dinosaur. God destroys dinosaur. God creates man. Man creates dinosaur. Man destroys God. And then Ellie just goes, dinosaur, eat man. Women inherit yeah. the earth.
I love it. That's a good one, too.
I know. That one's a longer line, though. Hold on to your butts is a much shorter one. It's easier to get out.
Yeah. No, I don't know if Jeff Goldblum's laugh counts as a quote, but you know how they, like, did that remix of him? Did you yes. ever see that video? It's like, ha-ha.
Yes. And then also, so, when they cut to...
like dick up dinosaurs.
Yes, I feel like there's a lot of like memes and stuff from this movie, especially with Ian Malcolm and Jeff Goldblum, because yes, they cut to totally. That, you know, like where he's laying on the table and he's injured, but he has like his shirt yeah. is open and he's just like posing. It literally cut to that, and I think I was taking a sip of my drink and I almost spit it out because I was just like, I didn't realize in the movie it was just like that. I guess like it didn't yes. remember that, and I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah, no, it totally that's was. So... You know, it's after he gets injured, so it
cracks me up. He's gonna look good even though he's injured. I don't blame
of
you,
Jeff. Of course.
Goldblum.
Yeah.
Pose
no,
it
I
up.
Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe he should listen to this and, you know, hang out with us, you know, at some point. That'd be really cool. I think he's awesome.
Jeff, I'll shout out right now. you haven't listened to any of the other ones. I have no shame. Jeff Goldblum, hit us up. We're waiting for you. We would love to hang out. We will pose with you.
Yeah, take a break from your Disney Plus show and you know, hang out with us.
Come hang out with
talk
us.
To dinosaurs. Yeah.
I will also say Jeff Goldblum also has I keep saying this like I don't have another favorite line, which is I do like when they go past the T-Rex paddock and then the Dilophosaurus before it and there's no dinosaurs and Jeff Goldblum mm-hmm. like taps on the camera in the car and he's like, are there gonna be any dinosaurs on this dinosaur tour? And then Hammond just goes, I really hate that man.
Yeah. No, no, that was such a good one. Gosh, I love that. I mean, you know, of course, like, go out, you don't see anything. And then, you know, you practically get eaten by one. So you got to see dinosaurs, just took a while.
Exactly. Also, I do want to say that T-Rex scene is up there. I don't think it's as frightening as the raptors in the kitchen is, but holy yeah. crap, that T-Rex scene is still like that. It's like a 15-minute sequence.
Yeah.
And the way that exactly. It's so good. Sorry. I'm good. I know you'll appreciate this cuz you love this movie, but it's just like I was watching it, I was like, this is such a great scene. I was like, this is so yeah. good. Like
that was like the part. Everything where I was probably the most afraid as a kid. I was like, oh my God, it's going to eat those kids in there. Like,
oh, you know what? It's so funny.
It's in there. Like, it knows that they're all in there right now.
Well, and then, like, the kids try to get Ian and Alan's attention by, like, shining the flashlight, and then that brings the T-Rex back to them, and you're just like, no, turn off the flashlight. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, turn off the flashlight, turn off the flashlight. And you're just like, oh.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, what? Come on, guys. We can do better than this. Like,
it's so good, though. I will say, as a kid, that scene, like, it's obviously, like, intense, but it never scared yeah. me. Like, the raptors in the kitchen always scared. Like, I always hold my breath during that scene. Like, even last night, I was funny. Like, oh.
Yeah, right?
It's just so if good.
They get in, like, yeah.
I and then they it. Do, that's... and you're just like, oh.
Yep. I know, I always remember the wiggling jello, like when she's eating the jello and she's like, you know, pretty much freaking out because she sees it. It's like, oh, yeah, there they are. That's what raptors do to people. Scare the shit out of you.
And also, like with the wiggling jello scene, like it's so, it's because it's Steven Spielberg and he's really obviously very good at what he does. But they have it yes. where they have like the mural with all the dinosaurs and the raptor briefly,
yeah.
like the silhouette of the raptor lines up with the painting of the raptor on the wall. I don't think I'm describing yes. it very well, but like no, it's just
are.
Like.
I mean, I see it in my mind when you say it, but yeah, I mean, it's, I love that. It's such a good shot.
It is. So I'm creative. Telling you right now, I literally have like chills right now just talking about the T-Rex scene and the raptors in the kitchen scene. It's so good. Like, this movie is so good.
I know. Sorry, guys. I love it. So
I know. I don't even, I'm saying that to you. Like you, like I'm trying to convince you to like this movie. Like, obviously you like this movie. You're on this podcast to talk about it.
Yeah.
So you chose a favorite dinosaur very quickly. You were very quick with that. I didn't think it was going to be that quick. So let's go to favorite. Great. Raptors are pretty cool. Well, really quickly, before I go to my next one, did you like what they did with the raptors in Jurassic World, or did you feel like that was a little too over the top, even for Jurassic Park?
I don't know. It was kind of like a toss-up. I like them, I think, more in the original movies, but the them, like, training them and stuff, I don't know. Like, I thought it was kind of cool, but I don't know if that would really be something that, I mean, again, this is a fictional movie with not a whole lot to go on with dinosaurs' interactions
right.
with humans. So, I mean, yeah, I would love to have a raptor that I could train to, you know, do whatever. Of course, you know, I wouldn't want to use them, like, for what the bad guys are wanting to use them for. But, I don't know, it's just pretty neat just how intelligent they are. Yeah, exactly. Use them for war, for terrible things. But, It was pretty cool. I do still like the ones just in the original movie, because I guess I like when Dr. Grant is like watching them more and like trying to figure more out about them, and he like keeps making right. the connections between like birds and raptors and just all this really cool stuff. And you know, he does it in the book too, like the whole time they're watching them and kind of like trying to figure them out. But you know, like every time they watch them, they just are so quick and they disappear like off into the darkness, like, you know, at the drop of a hat. But I don't know, I did kind of like Jurassic World just because it was neat, like, to see that, you know, someone's trying to train raptors and do this stuff, and then, you know, they actually end right. up helping them out in the end, which is nice. So, you know, I like it. I don't know if I like it more than the original though, but I do like that part of it. I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, and it's like, it's kind of like you were saying, like, this is kind of as much raptor, like this, especially this first movie, it's as much raptors in their natural habitat as it can be. Cause like you said, like, mm-hmm. we can't know how they'd interact with us. There's no way to obviously know that.
Yeah.
I do exactly. like as much as I'm with you kind of on The Lost World, where that one's kind of a weird movie because it's kind of like they kind of knew what they were doing, but not really. They actually, The Lost World has my favorite raptors scene, which is the raptors in the field when they're all taking off across the field. And then you just see like the grass, the tall grass, like move with the raptors.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Okay. Yeah,
I will say that's
one for sure.
I will say The Lost World is also the one I think where the girl does like gymnastics to get away from the raptor, so it's equally ridiculous if I remember correctly.
I gotta rewatch this wonderful gem of a movie.
I'm pretty sure that's what happens at the Lost. And Vince Vaughn is in The Lost World. I remember putting it on one day and I was like, Vince Vaughn is in this movie. I was like, all right, what? Vince Vaughn's here. God. Yeah,
I totally forgot that. Okay, all right. Give it another watch then, for sure.
I will say, there's parts of The Lost World I really like because Steven Spielberg came back for that one, so you're still getting a Steven Spielberg movie, but
yeah,
it's still like, they have some ridiculous things. Like, again, once they're like, we need to take the dinosaur to San Diego. Why? Why?
Why are you doing that?
Well, and then they transport the T-Rex, and then I think it's just the T-Rex, and then everybody on the ship is dead because the T-Rex gets out at some point, so you're just like, guys. Yeah. What are we doing? What are we doing, transport?
Yeah.
We told you. Yeah.
Told you what would happen.
Exactly. I was very interested to hear what you thought of the raptors in Jurassic World, because it is an interesting concept, but it is one of those things, yeah, like, almost, not too outlandish, but it is like, there's no way you could train raptors, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, and again, we have no information to go off of. I don't know. It seems like too intelligent of an animal, like how it's portrayed, to like listen to something that's, you know, it's not, I don't know. I just don't think that it would listen to a human. I think it's smart. They all, you know,
right.
I don't know. I don't think they do it, but.
I agree. I completely agree with you. I think you made a very valid point. So who is your favorite character in this movie? Because we have a lot of, actually, I have like almost everybody in this movie, which doesn't tend to happen. And actually, I also really like Tim and Lex, the kids, and I tend not to like kids in movies because they always make them kind of stupid, but Tim and Lex aren't really dumb. So Tim and Lex actually react very smart for the situation they're put in as kids. So who out of everybody in this movie do you think is your favorite character?
Oh gosh, it's so hard to choose just one.
I know, there's a lot of great ones. Sorry. It's like Sophie's Choice, but not at all.
I know. It's so hard to choose just one person. You know, I've always really loved Dr. Grant, so I think if I have to choose one, I guess I'll go with him. But I love him in the movie and in the book, because he's portrayed differently in the movie versus the book. So the movie, he doesn't like kids, and in the book, he likes them. So it's funny, like, he looks out for them more and actually cares about them and stuff in the book. And then the ages of the kids, they're like flipped. So the brother is older and the sister is younger. And the brother is the dinosaur buff who's like all excited to meet Dr. Grant. And the younger sister, I remember her being like slightly annoying.
But, you, like book Lex, you were like, she could die. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I probably would. Sorry, but yeah. I just, you know, and it was funny, the person in the book who hated the grandkids was the grandfather. It was Hammond. Like, Hammond was pretty much a villain in this book. He was terrible. He was just really rude and not, like, he didn't care about anyone but himself. I mean, you know, his grandkids are in the park and he doesn't care about them at all. Like, it's just, he was really mean, which was weird. Because, you know, in the movie, he's like, oh, yay, happy grandpa, come see these dinosaurs and hang out with me. And, you know, spare no expense. So I'm going to say all these things a million times. And, you know, so I liked him in the movie way better than the book. So that was, because I liked that they made him nice. Because, I mean, who wants a grandpa who's an asshole who, you know, doesn't care about your surviving dinosaur island?
I guess if you're rich and like your grandfather's an asshole, you're just like, if I survive this, I'll get all this money, so we're good.
Yeah, right?
We're square.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he ends up in the book, you know, he does end up dying in the book by compies, which are hilarious, because I mean, the tiniest little dinosaur, little pack of dinosaurs brought him down.
I will say the compies, is that what they are?
Yeah.
Compies? They get a little bit of a spotlight in Lost World, which is funny because they get twice, I think they get because they attack the little girl at the beginning and then they attack one of the soldiers in the middle of it.
Yeah. They're tiny. Yeah. People underestimate how they, how aggressive they are.
Exactly. Never underestimate tiny things. You don't.
Yes, never.
I was trying to go somewhere funny.
Venomous dinosaurs.
Yes, I was trying to go somewhere funny with that, and it just didn't stick. So I do apologize to everybody for that. It is funny that you said that about because when I read the Wikipedia summary of the book, it is funny to see kind of how, a lot of things, like you were saying, a lot of things, and you'll be able to speak better to this because you've actually read the book. But a lot of things were similar, but the changes were very they were small changes, but they were shifts in character. Cause I think Malcolm has a bigger part as well, right? In the books.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of the chapters too, he's Michael Crichton, this is the only Michael Crichton book I've read. So I'm sure this is true for most Michael Crichton books, but it kind of focuses on the science part of it. So
yes.
Ian Malcolm is the one really going into detail about, of course, in a fictional book about dinosaurs, yes, he's going into great detail about scientific findings, all this stuff, right. Which is great. I mean, I love that. It's interesting. But I feel like he does it way more in the book than he does in the movie. I feel like in the movie, he's more kind of there, that fun-loving character, kind of poking fun at things. And, he gives his opinion, but, not as much as he does. Well, not opinion, but he gives more scientific facts, fictional scientific facts, if that's what we're going to call them, about dinosaurs. So,
sciencey facts. Yeah, because yes. I mean, science, like in the movie, yes, I think that's a perfect way to describe it. Good job, Ashley. No, because in the movie, Malcolm, I mean, he obviously he tells us a little bit about, obviously he's the chaos theory guy, which is how they introduce him, and obviously he has the chaos theory and he tells us a little bit about that, but he's very quippy in the movie, so he's very he does get his really good mono, because he has they have the really good conversation around lunch where Malcolm does point out, he's like, yeah, you like we said earlier, you could do it, but no one ever stopped to think, should you do it? So he does have a couple really good monologues, but he very much is very just kind of quippy, and he has those one-liners in the movie. And I think I have read Jurassic Park. It's been a very long time, but I will say for Michael Crichton books in general, because I have read other Michael Crichton books, there's a lot of science in his books. And obviously there's a story there, but there's just a ton of science that every once in a while you're just all right, let me just slow down. This is Michael Crichton's actually trying to teach you and tell you something. And you're just all right, I'm kind of here for the dinosaurs. And
so let's just get through this sciencey stuff and bring more dinosaurs.
Is anybody else going to get eaten by a dinosaur, sir? Because that is what I'm here for.
Preferably in the next 10 pages. No, you're right. I mean, even in Jurassic Park, it definitely, he does do that. And I mean, of course, it's fictional facts about dinosaurs. So, for to go on that much about it, I feel like if it were actual, hard facts that didn't have to do with dinosaurs, maybe. I'm sure that there are plenty in here. I just can't remember for the life of me, specific details about each of them, because I'm okay, I think I've had enough science for right now. I'd like to get more to the the plot of the story, or whatever this is setting up,
Right. Well, and like as I was watching it, because obviously the scene where Mr. DNA explains everything and they talk about filling in the segments of the DNA that's missing and all this stuff, I'm not very science minded, or math mind. That's not what I get headaches when I look at numbers. That's not my thing. But as I was watching it, I was like, wow. To like the average viewer who's a dummy when it comes to science and math, I was like, makes sense. Can we get to the dinosaurs and the meeting? You know what I mean? I was like, you got me. It makes sense to me. We're good. You don't need to explain anymore.
Yeah. No, exactly. I felt the same way. I mean, and that's just because I'm not science-y people. I'm sure people who are super into that kind of stuff are like, oh, yeah, give me more. But I don't know. Maybe they might think it's silly, too, because it's all based on, you know, things about dinosaurs, and there's probably a lot we still don't know about them to this day. So who knows what he filled in.
Well, I'm sure someone, I'm sure someone was like, oh, that's not how that would be done. Like, if this, like, you know, right. Like, someone who actually is science-minded is watching that, like, that's not how you do it. Like, that's, whenever there's a time travel movie, there's always, like astrophysicists who come out, and they're like, well, that's not how time travel works. And I'm like, yeah, right. Well, the way Back to the Future explained it made sense to me. So I know that's not how it works, but it makes sense for the story. Can we just, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right, just accept it.
Doc Brown, explain it to me like this. That's how it is now.
Right, like that's how time travel works. And then there's I always love those people, especially now with the way the internet is. Like, someone always has to be right. So I'm sure if Jurassic Park came out today, they'd be like, "Well, that's not how dinosaurs would actually be made." And we're like, "Yeah, we know. It's just a movie. Just let me have my movie."
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, we've been accepting this fact since the 90s. So let's just, you know, say that we get dino DNA, and then we put the frog DNA in there, and boom, we have a dinosaur. We're fine.
Exactly. Anything beyond that, my head starts hurting, and you've lost me. So, yes, like Jurassic Park, they do it in the perfect amount of time where I'm just like, nope, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's, so I do like that, because they did, you know, they didn't put as much of that in the book into the movie, which was cool.
Which I think is good, because I think well, and Michael Crichton helped with the screenplay, but they had David Coep came on as well. But I think it's good to have that balance, because Michael Crichton if you read any of his other books, he does really he loves the science behind it, and you can tell he's very passionate about it, and which is really great. But like, his books are very much like, they're like 60% science and then like 40, you know what I mean? Like 40% of everything else. And you're just like, which is super great. But then you get those chapters that are just like, science-y, like just all science-y. And you're just like, oh, wow. Like he does his research. He does. Like, you're just like, oh, yeah. Well.
Exactly. So it seems like a nice, you know, balance between, I mean, they made a huge blockbuster hit. So, I mean, they clearly put the right amounts of whatever they needed in there. When they made it, great.
And it does feel like, I don't know if you feel this way, but with the first movie, they actually like asked those questions like, oh, we were kind of Frankenstein in the situation. Oh, we've created this. And it's like man versus nature, but like manufactured nature. And I think like they actually asked those questions in this movie. And then like the other movies are very much like, oh, dinosaurs are already here. Remember when they killed people remember when it was the people versus the dinosaurs? That's all that matters, right? And I'm like, yeah, but that you asked some really good questions in the first movie that we never addressed them again. And then you just did it again anyway. So it's just like, like, again, I don't know if you feel that way, but I feel like this one had a lot more of that, like, us questioning ourselves and whether this was a good idea, where, like, the other ones feel like, oh, no, we made dinosaurs. We could still do this. Like,
and
less of consequences for ourselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, you know, that's part of the reason I think why I like this one so much, because they're like, well, should we really be doing this? Or like, I think in the third movie, they questioned that too. I mean, I think when they get into like, I don't know, wherever they were, there were a bunch of eggs and incubators or something.
Right. Because I'm
pretty sure they were like,
I think the third, well, I know the second one takes place on Isla Sorna, which is the second island, which is like, I think like the test site, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah. Because
Isla Nublar is where the park is.
Yeah.
There's too many Islas.
Yeah, there are. Even in the book, too. Because I have the book right now. And I was, like, kind of looking through it. Because I, before, you know, I was, like, trying to remember how the book ended. And I was, like, you know, I could read the ending real quick just to refresh my memory. Because from what I was trying to remember, I knew that they, like, bombed, I think, the island at the end. And then I remember there was an epilogue I read, and I remember one of the characters was talking to Dr. Grant, and he was like, yeah, there's some weird stuff happening around the island. And this is after they've like been off of the island, they escaped the island, has been bombed, and now they're being held in like some government agency, because, you know, they can't leave there yet. They can't right. leave Costa Rica until they're like questioned a million times and all that stuff. They can't go home yet. So they've been there for a little bit. And then this guy was saying that I guess there was a section of the island that some animals had been eating crops in a specific way. And like where they moved each day and like in a straight line, they were eating specific things. So like he told Granny's like, yeah, they're only eating these, I think agama beans and soy is what it said, and sometimes chickens. And then Grant's like, oh, food's rich in lysine. Okay, no big deal. That's cool. So that is what the raptors eat. That's what actually I believe all of the animals in Jurassic Park in the book are, they're all yes. lysine dependent. I don't know right. if they touch on that in the movie. Because remember, like if they escape, they're like, oh yeah, they'll be fine because they're lysine dependent. They're not going to get that far. No, like yeah. if they said half this.
I will say they do touch on that in the movie because I think it's Samuel L. Jackson because I think Ellie and Malcolm, when they get back, ask what happens if the dinosaurs get off. And that's what they said. They purposely left out a part of they purposely give them lysine. And if they take it away for more than a few days, then that's supposed to be like the population control if they ever get off. So that's interesting because they don't. Because the movie just kind of, it ends with them escaping the island on the helicopter. So we don't really go yeah. into, like, they don't really, that is actually interesting because this movie doesn't really say, oh, well, what happened to the dinosaur? Like, give us kind of any conclusion about what happens to the dinosaurs left on the island. It is just kind of like, oh, they escaped. Oh, okay. And you assume, because yeah. they mentioned, I guess because they mentioned the lysine thing earlier, oh, that's how they're going to die. But if it's like, from what you're saying with the book, that other animals have just been spreading it further and further on the island, they yeah, can just survive.
Right? Exactly. And if they're going after the right crops, which, you know, they're smart, they're going to eat the right thing in order to survive. Like,
right. Which so they do. I mean, obviously, hilarious. They do end up doing, because obviously the rest of the, especially 2 and 3, they focus on the dinosaurs that were left behind.
Yeah.
So it isn't, because it is interesting because they mention that and then it's like, it's mentioned in that one little
really
thing.
Go back to it. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I feel like that was for people who read the book before going to see this. So the people in the book who read the book were like, that's in the book. Oh, they didn't touch yeah. on it again. That was really important because.
Yeah. I was kind of bummed that they didn't put it in there. Like, oh yeah, so by the way, there's animals eating our crops that are definitely. They have lots of lysine in them. So, you know, no big deal or anything. I just figured I should tell you. Like, that's a big part. Like,
no, because it is funny.
It's just the epilogue of the first book. So that's how they end it.
Well, and then like when I was reading the Wikipedia page and it was like, yeah, they bombed the island with napalm. I was like, holy shit. Like this what? Movie, the book ended way differently than the movie ended. Like,
yeah, the book is a lot more violent because the book, it's funny there. It's like scene 2 where Dr. Grant are trying to escape raptors and he injects poison into some, I think they're raptor eggs because they're really large, and he gets them to eat the eggs and he watches them like die. Like they like struggle and they like get this poison and then they like, you know, are all flapping around and they have like foamy mouths and then they just like pass out and die on the ground. Like, oh my God.
That's, yeah. I'm kind of glad we didn't see that. That would just be horrible. But it sounds like the book focus, I think it sounds like Michael Crichton also focused a little more on the book because obviously you can do a little more. You could obviously do more with the book. You can go into more detail. It sounds like he really focused on the man creating this thing and really taking and like the movie touches on, like we said, but like, creating this thing and touching on, like, we didn't take any responsibility for this, so we created this, and then the only way to stop what we did was to violently destroy these things we created. I mean, it really, it does sound, like you said, like, the book is just much more like, man is the real villain, like, behind this.
Oh, totally agree. Along with Hammond, everybody. You know?
Yeah. Hammond does not sound. Hammond's very pleasant in the movie. He's a very pleasant man.
Hammond's so nice and lovable and sweet, and you know, I really like him in the book or in the movie. But the book, he's like so rude all the time. I was like, oh, that's such a bummer. I love seeing him in the movie. You know, he's so nice.
I'm kind of glad I did. Like, if I did read the book, it's been so long that I don't remember it. Because I feel like I'd be pleasantly surprised if I read the book and then watched the, or maybe I'd be mad. Because you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times when people change stuff from the books, like, especially like I'm thinking like Harry Potter and Hunger Games and stuff like that, which are books I really loved. I'm always kind of, do you like the book or the movie better? Sorry, I'm like going 50 different ways with this.
I don't know. It's hard.
I mean, they sound completely different.
Like, yeah, I mean, they are different for sure. I guess I like the book a lot because it has, I like the book for all the like, different details and stuff. But the movie, I don't know. I love the movie a lot just because of how great it is and the cast. And I like how they changed the things from the book, you know, to make it a little more, make it a little more lovable. Because, I mean, you know, be a little hard to have like a great movie with a shitty grandfather and like, and also like Ian Malcolm, he dies in the book, he doesn't make it out. I mean, wouldn't that be a bummer? Like, I would hate to lose him in the actual movie.
Right.
Like, he dies, and just like other kind of bigger things like that.
Right.
I don't know. I love the visuals of the movie, I think, too, because without watching that and then reading this, it's a lot different. Because, you know, like, if I were to never have seen the movie and then like read this book before I ever saw the movie, I think as you're reading this, you would picture everything so differently. And the movie is just so great, the way that they, you know, like as they're talking about all these scenes and just like, you know, I see that mural with the dinosaur sneaking behind it with the silhouette, and like, you know, I think about the kitchen scene where they're like getting in, you know, opening doors and like, you know, breathing on the window and fogging it up. And like, so I have like a visual in my mind already. So it's kind of cool because the book just adds on to it. So I think they kind of go together well. I mean, just because it's like, when you're thinking about this, do you really have an idea of what these things look like? Or, you know, like what the place looks like or the people? And I think this is one of the few things that like they go together really well.
Right, like they add to each other. Like they really are like companions to each other instead of like looking at it like how I look at the Harry Potter movies and books. Like, well, I like the book better because of this. Like it does really sound like Jurassic Park the movie and the book are just like, no, they both have some, they're both so different, but they both add to each other. So like they just go together. So
they've done a good job
like balancing it. Yeah.
Because it's never really the case with other books and movies. You either really, really love or hate one or the other. You know? Like,
right.
It's,
no, 100%. But with this, 100%.
It's hard to choose one or the other. I think they both, like you said, they add to each other well.
Right. I need to read beyond the Wikipedia page, clearly.
Yeah, I know. Now we're talking about this, I'm like, I might even reread it. Like, it's been a few years since I've read it. I think I read it like 5 years ago or something. It was a great book for sure. I could definitely reread it.
Yeah. Next time I talk to you, you're gonna be like, I can't talk to you. I'm rereading Jurassic Park. Do not talk to me.
Sorry. Leave me alone. I'm gonna have to read about dinosaurs.
I'm busy now. Leave me alone.
Busy dinosaurs to read about.
God. Well, Ashley, thank you very much for coming on and talking Jurassic Park. We've been talking for over an hour about Jurassic Park.
Oh my God, we have. I just looked at our little timer on this recording. Man,
I know. It doesn't feel like it though, does it?
Sweet dinosaurs. Yeah.
Exactly.
It does not. Man, well, as Malcolm would say, life finds a way.
Exactly. We'll make it. We'll match it. Word of the podcast. Find a way.
Yeah, exactly. I like it.
Thank you. Well, you again for coming on. I had an awesome time talking Jurassic Park with you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been lots of fun talking about dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. I know I can always talk dinosaurs and sharks with you. You're my dinosaur and shark person.
Yep, that's me. Jaws will be next, hopefully.
Jaws is another one. It's fantastic. Oh, no, don't even get me started. We could do another hour on Jaws.
Great, I'm ready.
We'll do a follow up. We'll do a Jaws follow up episode.
Okay, Great.
Well, yes. Thank you again. Yeah, thanks for coming on. And guys, this has been Ghost Facing It, the podcast where we talk favorite films with some of my favorite people. And we will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah. See ya.